Good morning. Super excited to see all of you today, to be back with us. I pray that your time in your small group study was good and you enjoyed that and you grew in your knowledge and understanding of the Holy Spirit. I'm looking forward to this next 6-week study. I think it's going to be very good for all of us. If you will, right now, if you'll crack open your announcements there, got a couple things that I want to point out to you. Actually, I have something else I want to read you here. First of all, today, this afternoon, beginning at 6, we're going to have a banquet to honor our graduates, Alexandria Perry and Hagen New. The meats and dessert are going to be provided, but we would like you to bring a side item to share with the church. It's going to be a good time to be there with one another, to have food and fellowship, and to celebrate our graduates. Also, you have on here, just a reminder, this is one that you definitely want to circle in your calendar. June 19th, the ladies of the church are going to be preparing breakfast for the church, and so I'm going to guess it's probably going to be a little step above what the deacons are able to whip up, but if you're also, you see in there, if you're willing to serve in that and you want to help, be here at 8 a.m. so one or two ladies aren't doing it all, right? So if you're interested in that, let Cindy know. Also, out there in the Hallelujah Hallway, we continue to have the sheet out there. You guys are doing a great job of updating your directory. We want to make sure we have your correct address on there, so we're working on that. So take a look at that out there. Also, you see some dates there for youth camp, GA day camp, and RA camp. Something that I wanted to ask everyone about is that on the 15th, we are in need of a chaperone for GA day camp. And so if anyone maybe has another vacation day that they want to use before they lose or something, if you could serve on that 15th, that would be very beneficial. We've got the 14th and 16th covered, but the 15th is still needing a chaperone, right? So if you would like to serve in that way, it's there. Also, VBS is almost here. Out there in the hallway, you'll also see sign-up sheets for different areas of service, right? I know, I haven't looked at it this morning when I walked by, but I know as of last week, we were still looking for people to help with the creation station. That's the crafts section. And looking for people to show a video. Usually VBS, we have a little video that goes along with it. And so we're looking for someone, I think it's called KidVid. Does that sound right? KidVid? Okay, thank you, Jamie. Looking for people to help in the KidVid. So take a look at that out there. Also, right beside that, you'll see a sign-up sheet. If you want a shirt for VBS, put your name on there and your size, and we'll get you a cool shirt. You're going to have to pay for it, but we'll get you a shirt. All right? I want to read you something. This is from the Forsey family. Dear church, we thank you for how you loved us and fed us and put your arms around us as we honored and celebrated the life of Alice, Mom. This church was a huge part of who she was and who we all are. May God bless each and every one of you for every act of kindness shown to our family and for our every prayer offered for us over the last year. God is truly glorified through all of you. We thank you and we love you, the family of Alice Forsey. You know, we had a memorial service here yesterday for Alice. It was a joyous occasion. It was a honor to be a part of that. And it's just, that's what a memorial service should look like. As we honor someone who served the Lord, we are resting in confidence where Alice is right now. It was just a great day. I also wanted to, and I'm not going to name names because I'm horrible. I'm always afraid I'm going to miss someone's name. But I'm going to tell you right now, we have at this church a party planning committee that goes above and beyond every time we have something. So I just wanted to let those men and women know how much I appreciate their efforts. Oh, right. Yeah, I'm clapping. Okay. Yeah. Because, I mean, a lot of times they're asked to do something at a spur of the moment, and they get in there and they work hard, and they just do a really good job. And it's kind of thankless, and a lot of times you don't even see them. You don't even know who they are, right? You just get there and like, oh, man, this is set up and it's so nice. That takes work and effort by a group of people that are serving in that way. So I'm very thankful for them. You'll also see the Christmas project that continues to be collected. Looks like right now in June, it's socks, and they use the word undergarments. You guys can figure out what that means. And that's what we're collecting right now. All right. We have something super special this morning. Is Raphael and Ruby, if you guys want to come on up. Raphael, this is where you come up. Raphael's like, is that my name? Ain't none of the Raphaels but you, man. You're the only Raphael we got. So we have a very special day today, right? We have added to the Juarez family, and if you haven't had a chance, I encourage you to stop by and say hi to Benjamin. And what we're going to do this morning is Raphael would like to say a few things. This is what we call here at church. This is a baby dedication. And what this is, and we have to be super clear about this, this is nothing special. This doesn't, well, it is something special, but it doesn't guarantee Benjamin's salvation. We still pray and we hope that God continues and will continue to call people to him. And we pray that that happens for Benjamin. But what this is it's a commitment from not only Raphael and Ruby, but it's a commitment as us, as their church family, that we will help them in raising Benjamin in the ways of the Lord. And so when he gets a little bit older and he's able to rip and run and we're able to help slow him down or able to correct him or able to speak some truth to him, we have to understand we have a responsibility in that as well. And it's a joyous thing and we should be very happy about it. You know, a church that continues to have babies in it is an amazing thing. I got a message this morning that we had 10 children in the nursery/toddlers room. What a blessing that is. Also, pray for Gracie, who was in there, right? I don't know if we may have lost her there, but she may be back there. I don't know. But, pray for her in that situation. I mean, that's a very important part of our church, right? There's so many churches where you go and you don't see that, and that's not a good thing, right? So I'm going to pray. Actually, just Raphael, you go ahead, and then when you finish, you pray for us. Yeah.
Well, it's good to see you all again. Obviously, we've survived for now. If we have another night like last night, probably not so much. But hey, it is a blessing. I've thought of what to say, of what to be able to express, and to do that, I promise I won't take long. But I want to take you back about 24 years ago. About 24 years ago, a newly ordained pastor and his wife, and his little 3 to 4 year old boy. With a very bad bowl haircut, big buck teeth, and a head bigger than his own body, looking like a bobblehead, arrived to this little town, searching where the Lord was guiding them to serve. Little did he know, little did the family know, the pastor and his wife and the family, that the Lord had already prepared a church. That he had already prepared the hearts of a church that would open its doors in following the Great Commission and showing the love of Christ to that family. And as he searched, the Lord brought him here to this church, to Dallasburg, where little did Dallasburg know that the love and kindness that they would show that day would reverberate 24 years from now. Little did Dallasburg Church know that they would give birth to a church right down the road in a little old store that is arguably probably the oldest Hispanic church open today, that has had well over hundreds of people, of migrant workers and families, go through there so they can hear the gospel. And it was all because of this church. Many of you saints are still here. Many of the saints, they've been called to another state, to another church, and, well, many other saints have been called home. But it's because of that love, it's because of that grace and mercy that you all showed in the beginning, that little did we know that 24 years from now, we'd be standing here as well. That little boy with the bad haircut and big old buck teeth and a big old head. Still bad haircut. Yeah, thanks, Ruby. Would be here with his wife, who is also fruit of that small church. And now with their newborn son, being able to present him to the same church that showed us the love, the grace of God, and opening the doors to us. So I pray that he receives the same love, grace, not only from our Lord, but from you guys. And I do appreciate it. I do want to say thank you. And I just hope that this is the beginning of many more years and many headaches, because I can guarantee you this kid will give us headaches. But in the end, he is a blessing. So again, from my family to you, our church family, I want to say thank you. I want to say that I don't know where we would be if the Lord hadn't brought us here. It is a true pleasure, a true honor to be part of this church, to be part of a church that has been so fundamental in our growth and in our conversion. And I say that with all my heart. I think I speak for the both of us when we say we love you and thank you from the bottom of our hearts. With that being said, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to stand here and to be able to worship you, to be able to pray, to be able to come together as a family, not only as a church family, but also as a family that you've brought together. We ask that the rest of this time may be for your glory, that we may worship you well, that we may be able to hear your word, and that Christ be glorified this morning in everything that we do. Father, we praise you, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
You gonna lead worship?
No, absolutely not. We'll give Raphael a quick chance to get over there and get Benjamin back in his spot. And then what we'll do is we'll have Raphael along with Crystal. And I don't know if someone's playing the box this morning, but we'll have them lead us in worship. The purpose of worship, right, is number one, to give worship to God. And number two is to prepare our hearts to then hear God's word, to where we can grow in that and understand in that and become more shaped into the image of Jesus Christ, right? So as Raphael and the other musicians come, we look forward to serving in that way.
I'm a new dad by how long I take to do everything, right? Well, let's stand and let us worship this morning, and let us sing that the reason we're here to worship is because of Christ. So let us sing this wonderful song together. I invite you to meditate in the words, and let us honor our Lord this morning. I'm telling you, new dad, I'll get there. I'll get there, I promise. I'll get there. All right, let us sing. Let us sing.
Light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came, created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Amen. We can say that he's altogether lovely because he paid it all. Amen. Our debt is cleared, our debt is paid, and let us worship our Lord Jesus because of it.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change a leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good I have, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Stay white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Amen. Psalm 104, 5 through 6. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. And that was our Lord Jesus Christ who did that. And what a wonderful and beautiful name that is. So let us sing and let us worship our Lord Jesus.
You were the Word in the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden power in creation, than you are, Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. Wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. Death could not hold you. Silence the most of sin and grave. Heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. Raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Powerful name, the name of Jesus.
That even though
I mess it up, he will never mess it up. Amen. We'll get that song perfect eventually, I promise. Let us continue worshiping our Lord as he is the sure and steady anchor of our souls. If we are anchored in him, we cannot be moved, and we will never be moved, for he will never be moved. So let us sing.
Christ the sure and steady anchor in the fury of the storm. When the winds of doubt blow through me and my sails have all been torn. In the suffering, in the sorrow, when my sinking hopes are, I will hold fast to the anchor. It shall never be removed. Christ the sure and steady anchor, while the tempest rages on, when temptation claims the battle and it seems the night has won, deeper still then goes was the anchor, though I justly stand accused, I will hold fast to the anchor, it shall never be removed. Christ the sure and steady anchor, through the floods of unbelief, hopeless somehow, oh my soul, now lift your eyes to Calvary. This my ballast of assurance, see his love forever proved. I will hold fast to the anchor, it shall never be removed. Christ the sure and steady anchor, as we face the wave of death, when these trials give way to glory, as we draw our final breath, we will cross that great horizon, clouds behind and life secure, and the calm will be the better for the storms that we salvation, ever faithful, ever true, we will hold fast to the anchor, it shall never be removed.
Amen. You may be seated.
Psalms 104, 7 through 8. At your rebuke, they fled at the sound of your thunder. They took the flight, the mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and heavenly God, we thank you for this blessings of each day and thank you for the freedom we have together here this morning. And thank you, Father, for the steady anchor that you are for each one of us. I pray, Father, that you be with Michael this morning as he brings us your word. It might be something we can share with others and be the witness that you have us be this week. Thank you for this time we give back to you what you so richly bless us with, Father, and pray to be used for your honor and your glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
All right, our kids will head off to children's church. You all have heard me say this before. Not only is it intimidating to me to know that I come up here before you this morning to talk about the things of the Lord and being the person whom I am, but it's also on some level intimidating to follow Crystal after she plays this morning. And you know, I just want to say this, and not just for Crystal, this is for all our musicians, for Jeremiah this morning, for Raphael as well. It's just how thankful we are that they use their gifts to serve the Lord and to also serve us. It's just, it's a real blessing. Oh, absolutely. We're in a clapping mood today. Very good. All right. Very good. And it's just, that doesn't happen on its own. Like, that's a lot of practice. That's a lot of effort. That's a lot of years of everyone. And so be thankful and appreciate that. Be thankful for that, right? We come here this morning, we continue our walk through 1 Peter, through the epistle written by the Apostle Peter. Just to kind of remind you, and you probably don't need it, but just in case you do, just to remind you of the context of this letter, is this letter is written to a group of Christians who have been dispersed. And so they're going through massive hardships as this letter is received by them. And what this is Peter, through writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right, writing to the church, the five churches that are dispersed, writing to them and letting them know, this is the expectation of God upon you while you're living as an exile. Some of your translations may even use the word alien. As you are living in this foreign land, how you are supposed to behave and act in relations to what God calls you to do. And so you've heard me say this a bunch of times, and I pray you hear me say it many more times, is that this book of the Bible is very relative to you and I. Even though you may not be dispersed from your home and you may not be living in a quote-unquote foreign land, my guess is that most of you have a hard time recognizing the world in which you live in compared to the world that you used to live in. I've said this to myself before, and obviously I don't believe in time travel. I cannot time travel. But I believe that if, 48-year-old Michael could go and talk to 18-year-old Michael, 18-year-old Michael would not believe what 48-year-old Michael would tell him is going to happen in a number of years. He just wouldn't believe it. And so I feel like this letter is extremely, you know, important to us as well, as we do feel as if we're living in a foreign land when we try to serve and look at the things of what the Lord wants us to do, and then we look around at the world. My guess is you feel like an exile, and you feel like a foreigner in this land. And Peter, again, writing on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what he tells the churches there is also relative to what we need to hear and what we need to be doing, right? And so we're going to take a look at some scripture this morning. This is a pretty big bite of scripture. I'm not sure we'll get through all of it. If not, we'll finish it next week, right? We'll just see what the Lord does with us this morning. But I'm going to read it all for us. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. And God's word says this: "And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful time of song and praise for you, Lord. You're worthy of every bit of that. And so we're so thankful to get to be producers of worship towards you. So what a blessing it is in our heart. Lord, we're thankful for the sweet time and the testimony this morning shared by Raphael and Ruby and Benjamin, Lord. We just we pray for that family, Lord. As many here are aware of the difficulties of having a young child in your home, Lord, we pray for strength with them. We pray for protection around them, Lord, and we pray that even through their early days and through the rest of Benjamin's life, Lord, that they ultimately glorify you. Lord, we're so thankful for this time you've given us this morning, Lord. We want to take a deeper look in your word, and Lord, we want to grow in our knowledge and understanding of what you desire from us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we come to this set of scripture, and I'm going to do things a little backwards according to the way the scripture reads out today. I want to first talk about what we see there in verse 17, with fear throughout the time of your exile. So when we come across the word fear in scripture, there's really two different ways we can look at it. One, unfortunately, is really never focused on. And the second one, all of you are thinking right now. So we'll do the easy one. The easy one is this. Quite often, when you come across fear in scripture, you can translate that as reverence or awe. And we'll talk about that, right? And that is important, because understanding whom God is as best as you can with your, you know, your small brain, that will lead to a worship and understanding of how worthy God is of your worship. So reverence will lead to worship. And that's very good and it's very right. But also, right, fear also has the meaning in Scripture that you and I are thinking of quite often, is that you are afraid of something. Right? The root word in both of these words, and in either way how you translate it, it's the same root word in Greek. It's phobia, right? Or phobo, right? It's where we get our word phobia from, right? And it's like, what are we afraid of? I went and I looked up some, these are the top 10, according to 2022, these are the top 10 phobias. You let me know if you fall in any of these. The first one is called acetophobia. That's a fear of failure, right? You're afraid to make a decision, so you don't do anything. Melissa, don't point at me, okay? So we have that one. Or we have thanophobia, fear of death. Nosophobia, fear of developing a disease. Also hypochondriacs, I'm thinking. And this is where we get into ones that are maybe more familiar to you. Arachnophobia, fear of spiders. Anyone got a fear of spiders? I used to work with a person, and I knew that she was afraid of spiders, but I didn't know she was this afraid of spiders. So I'm sure it happened here at Dallasburg Baptist Church. One of the kids got one of those spider rings. Remember those spider rings? You're probably still seeing those little plastic things. And so I got it, I took it to work, and I clipped off the ring part, and I just put it on her desk. She almost passed out. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't expect the reaction to be that extreme. She's like, oh no, I'm really scared of spiders. I was like, yeah, I can tell. Yeah, so I learned the hard way, don't be putting fake spiders in people's drawers, right? We have viaphobia, fear of driving. We've read some, I've read some that as we congregate more in urban centers where mass transit exists or where people have ride sharing, is that fewer and fewer people are driving. That's probably not a big thing here, but a lot of people are afraid of it. Claustrophobia, anybody here fear of small places? I watched a National Geographic documentary once about spelunking. That's just a fancy word for going down in a hole in the ground, right? And so they were going through Mammoth Cave, and they were in spots to where they would have to suck their breath in to be small enough to squeeze through a hole. And as I'm watching that, I feel my watch start vibrating. And I'm like, what? I look down. My heart rate is through the roof as I'm watching this person squeeze through this, and at one point they get stuck. I'm like, I was ready to freak out. I was like, I don't feel like I'm claustrophobic, but maybe I am. Maybe I am. I don't know, right? And then we have acrophobia is the fear of heights. And the number one phobia is aerophobia, and that's fear of flying, right? So we have lots of phobias in our life. And so when we come to this discussion of fear in Scripture, we're very quick to jump on the reverence. And I understand why people do that. But what I want to spend some time this morning is I want to spend some time talking about the dread that we have in understanding God. And a lot of people are like, Well, that's just a real Old Testament concept. You know, what are we to fear from God, right? If you're in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't experience this fear. However, if you are not in a right relationship with Christ, you should have massive fear, because I'll talk about this here in a second, about the judgment one day that will come because of that, right? We take a look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, right? This is one of my favorite proverbs. It says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Right? And so we need to be super clear what Peter is teaching the church here, and also teaching us, is he is teaching us that we should have a fear of God in terms of disappointing God. Right? You know, I remember having this conversation with, Melissa and I were in a very similar situation as Raphael and Ruby. It was very new child. I remember talking to my mom, and we're talking about ways, how you're going to raise your children. And I remember sharing with my mom, is like, I want my kids to fear me on some level. And my mom was just flabbergasted at that. She's like, what? No. No, they're not supposed to fear you. And I was like, but they need to learn there are consequences to their actions. What a big concern is, and I feel like I see this in the world, and you know, you fill in the blank if this is your home or not, but so often we're raising generations of people that there's no consequences to their actions. You should fear this. I can remember being at home, and my mom was not the disciplinarian. That job was given to my father. And I can hear it as plain as day. You know, you guys know my mother has lost her ability to speak, but I can still hear the words in her voice. She goes, "You wait till your dad gets home." Now, at that point, I was fearing. I'm like, man, it's coming. It's coming. When he rolls in that door, he's not going to be happy. And, you know, what I would call a modern-day beatdown, right? It was just called a normal whipping at the time. But that's what ensued. Right? And so there was a level of fear for the consequences of my actions. And church, you've probably heard many messages about this, and we skip this a lot because we don't want to talk about this characteristic of God. Like, we love to focus on his love. We love to focus on his grace. We love to focus on his forgiveness. And those are all good and amazing characteristics that God has. But God is also a righteous judge. And there are consequences for your actions. And if you are not resting in a relationship with Christ, you should be fearful of that. I'm here to say, and now this is my opinion, I'm not sure there's anything in life you should be more fearful of than that. You need to think about that. You need to dwell upon that, right? And if you are resting in Christ, you need to understand how blessed you are because of that, right? One of the things, and there's so many scriptures I could use, and as growing up as a kid, I was a huge fan of Andy Griffith. I don't know, you guys, anybody here like Andy Griffith? Is it so old nobody likes Andy Griffith? I liked Andy Griffith. I still like Andy Griffith, right? And there's an episode, and I should have looked it up, but I didn't, where there's a crooked guy, and he's a cheat. And he comes, and they're in a courtroom, and Andy tells him, he says, man, he goes, you're a very godly person, just like Ananias and Sapphira. And the guy's like, that's right, I am, right? And if you remember the story, and I'm going to read it for us here, this is in the book of Acts. This is when the church is sharing all their belongings together as they're establishing a church, right? That doesn't mean they're establishing a building. They're establishing a church, a group of believers, and they're selling things, and they're giving all that money collectively to be able to provide for people and to come together and worship. But Ananias and Sapphira, they're like, well, we're going to be smart. We're going to sell our land. We're going to keep some of the money, right? And this is what happens. Acts 5, verse 5, right? Chapter 5, verse 5. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard it. So when he lied to the church, the Lord took him right then and there. And then we see, and great fear came upon all who heard it. Now, it would be very difficult to understand that word fear and think of that as reverence or awe. That's a real fear, because that early Acts church saw the consequences of their sin happen right then and there, right? And they had to deal with that. And so this fear is a motivator, right? It motivates us not to one day have to experience, right, the ultimate judgment and then the ultimate eternal punishment in hell, right? 1 Timothy talks about this a lot, and I've got a little bit more to say about this. 1 Timothy, this is a pastoral epistle, so it's very near and dear to me. And 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20 says this, "As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear." And so what Timothy is being taught here is that in church, you have to address sin problems in people. Now, you may be thinking church discipline, right? This would be, I think we could definitely have a conversation about church discipline based off this verse. But what also I want to talk about is that we do this, right, because we love people. We want to help them. We cannot in a church, that's us, it's not this building, that's us, we cannot turn blind eyes to unrepentant sin that we are aware of in people's lives. We just can't do it. It's not a godly thing to do. It's not what God has called us to do. I didn't address this last week. I wanted to wait until this week because I knew this verse was coming up. Is that if some of the leaders in the SBC would follow this, we would not be on the national news right now with the problems that the convention is having. Because people knew of problems, but turned blind eyes to them. We cannot do that, church. You know, the old joke, denial is not just a river in Egypt. You can't deny and turn the other way when you see a problem. You have to lovingly address this. I've had to do this a couple times here at church. Reach out to someone and be like, hey, I'm seeing this. I feel like this is what's being presented in your life. Let's talk about it. The majority of times that has worked out well, and the person has received that well, and they've been like, I understand that. But once or twice, it didn't. It didn't work out well. And they're like, well, I don't know who you think you are to be texting me. How'd you get my number? Right? They didn't say, how'd you get my number? But I got, you know, the vibe back was like, they didn't want to have this conversation. This is what gets so many churches in trouble, not addressing this. And so what I encourage you is that when and if you are given this opportunity to speak some truth into someone's life, don't forget, we do it out of what? Out of love. We extend grace to that person, but we are doing our best to help hold them accountable so they can understand the love of God, right? So they can feel that. It's so important. And so, and we do that because what we see here in the rest of this scripture, so that the rest may stand in fear. In fear of what? In fear of me? You've got nothing to fear from me. You've got nothing to fear from me. But what you have to fear is you have to fear the consequences of this unrepentant sin in your life. And what does unrepentant sin in your life point towards? It's a very clear indicator of whether or not you have a true relationship with Christ. You've heard me talk about this. Anyone who attends my Sunday school class, I talk about this probably way more than anybody wants to hear about down there, is that unrepentant sin is a plague upon the church right now. There are so many things that we know are sinful, but yet we continue to do them anyway because we like them, they feel good, the world tells us it's okay, and we continue to march down this path of unrepentant sin. That's a real problem, church. You had a lesson this morning. What is one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit? To convict you of sin. So if you know something is sinful, but yet you continue to blindly march toward that, it really leaves a very big question as to whether or not you're in a relationship with Christ. It's a big question mark for you, and you need to think about that, and you need to pray about that. If you have questions, I would love to talk to you about that, right? This isn't a public conversation between you and I as we talk about unrepentant sin in your life, but you need to be aware of that. Right, you need to repent of that sin. You need to focus on it, and you need to root that out of your life, right? We move on here, right? And I kind of did this out of order, and we're going to talk about God as the judge, right? And we see here in Scripture, it says God shows no partiality. I mean, that's a big word, right? What does that mean? Right, what that means is that basically this, everyone is going to be judged. Everyone is going to one day stand in front of a perfectly holy, a perfectly righteous God and have to account for their actions, right? And so one of the things that's super important for us to talk about here is why is God judging us? Like, what gives God the right to judge us? Well, this is what gives God the right to judge us, is that he's the creator of us, right? He is the creator of the world. He is the uncreated creator, right? So it gives him the right to judge us, right? And the thing is that no one is going to escape that judgment. We are going to stand one day, and that is going to happen to each and every one of us. We also see there in that scripture, it talks about according to each one's deeds. Now, we need to pause on that just for a second, right? This was a confusion of the early church. It's still a big confusion in a lot of denominations that happens today. It's very easy to take this piece of scripture and to think, I can't see you, Crystal, there you go. It's very easy to, all I could see was the microphone right there. It's very easy to think, this is saying it's works-based. It is not works-based religion. You and I and everyone else that is in a right relationship with Christ is saved through faith and faith alone. That's very important to understand that and lock that in. That's a foundation of what we believe. However, what Peter is saying here, from your faith and your relationship in Christ, works will manifest themselves. And if you love Christ and you love what he teaches, there's only one result to that, and that is to go and to serve. And what Peter is saying here, when we see your works, it then points backwards to your faith. Right? I remember we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, and it's a hard thing for so many people to hear, is that before you entered into a right relationship with Christ, nothing you ever did was good. That's a hard thing for people to see. Be like, well, man, my grandmother was good. I mean, she did a lot of good things. Not according to Scripture, because it wasn't coming because of what she understood Christ had done for her, right? And so don't confuse that. I was reading some commentaries on that, and, man, they went, you know, down a long, long path talking about that. And it's super important to understand by faith and faith alone that we're going to be saved. You know, something else that is important for us to understand here, one of the reasons that Peter is talking about partiality and why it's important is that, remember that for hundreds and hundreds of years, the Jews had been taught that they were a special race of people. And they were, right? God used them, right? They were set aside. That is where Jesus came from the line of the Jews. And so they were a special people. But Peter was still having to fight against this concept of the Jews thinking that simply because they're Jews, that they're good to go. This is something that is relevant to you and I today in 2022. I don't know if it's you or not, many people think that they're a Christian just because they're American. They think American is synonymous with Christian. That's just not true. You are acting just like the Jews in the Old Testament if you have that belief. You know, when I share the gospel with someone, I no longer ask them if they know Jesus. Because the majority of people around here, if you ask that question, they're like, yeah, I know who Jesus is. And so what I like to ask people now is what do you think is going to happen when you die? Like, what do you think is going to happen? And so that leads into a conversation that allows you to understand, if they understand that it's about a relationship and faith in Christ, not about a simple knowledge of knowing who he is or how to spell his name. Right? I can remember when Molly came home from, I don't know what grade it was, and she says, Dad, you're not going to believe it. Jesus is in my class. And I was like, no, Molly, that's Jesus. That's not Jesus, right? She's like, no, man, it's spelled Jesus. It's Jesus. And I was like, Molly, it's Jesus. And so we had that conversation about who it is. And so Molly was like, I have a relationship with Jesus. And I was like, that's different, Molly. It's different, right? And so many people have this head knowledge, or they think they do. Really, when you get into it, they don't know as much as they think they do. But they have this head knowledge of Christ. But what we're looking for here is, do you have a relationship with Christ? Right? And in what that relationship, what should be one of the factors that drive you towards that relationship is this fear of what happens if you don't have that relationship. This fear leads to your sanctification. Now, one of the things we had to be super clear on, should this fear, this phobo, should it cause you to just cringe and sit in a corner and do nothing? No, it should not have that effect on you, but it should have a driving force upon you to want to have a relationship with Christ. And when you have that desire, you know, the first thing that happens is God calls you to that, and then you begin to develop this relationship and how important it is, right? And so it's just, it's never about works. It's always about our faith in Christ. It's super important. And this is something that I want to talk about a little bit. And I've heard people say this, and I know what they mean when they say this. And so I'm not trying to beat up on them too bad, but people are like, man, I'm willing to die for Christ. I'm willing to die for him today. I'll do whatever he wants me to do. And, you know, I was like, okay, maybe that's some false bravado. Maybe that's real. I don't know if it's sincere or not. But the question I like to ask people, are you willing to live for Christ, though? Are you willing to live for Christ? Are you willing to march into a dark world? Are you willing to go out and be that lighthouse upon the hill? Are you willing to be the salt and the light of the earth for Christ, right? Why are you doing that? It's because you understand what Christ has called you to, what God the Father has called you to. You know, that's why that first point there I put there is Father, right? And that's something else that I think is important to talk about. Quite often we use God the Father as an example, and unfortunately some of you have not had great fathers. And it's just the truth, you know? It's just the truth. And I had a dad and a stepdad. Neither one of them were perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But what the use of Father in Scripture is teaching us is that we have a heavenly Father who cares for us like an earthly father should care for us. And that's the point that's trying to be made there. We're not going to go any farther than that. We'll do a whole sermon on being redeemed. I kind of wanted to do that anyway, but I wasn't sure how it worked out. But that's what we're going to do. Just to kind of add a little bit to this, right? I want to give you an illustration. And the reason I think this illustration is valuable and useful to us is this. I'm concerned about how many people have no fear of the Lord. Not only do they have no reverence or awe, like the one part of fear, but they're not concerned at all with meeting their Creator one day. There's no fear in their lives. They're not concerned with it. They're not worried about it. So I was reading some about this, and this was an illustration, and this comes from Hungary about the 1700s, right? And the king of Hungary was a new Christian. He had just recently accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And as many of us who, when we first accept Christ, we take a long, hard look at the depths of our sin. And as the king continued to look at the depths of his sin, he became very upset, you know. And he's the new Christian. He's still not fully accepting that he's forgiven and he's been redeemed. And so he's having a hard time, and he's borderline depressed. So he calls his younger brother, who's the prince, and it says in the story that the prince was, you know, very happy-go-lucky. You know, he's the second in charge, so he's not the king. He kind of does what he wants to do. He's probably wealthy and can do whatever he wants to do. And he tells his brother, he goes, man, why are you worried about this? This is no big deal. You know, you ain't going to die for a long time, right? Well, at the time, the practice in Hungary was that when it was time for the executioner to come to you to remove your head from your body, the executioner would come to your door and would blow a trumpet. And you knew instantly that it was game over for you. So that same night, the king sent the executioner to his brother's door, and he blew the trumpet. And the brother, of course, you can only imagine, you know, he's scrambling to get his clothes on, and he comes outside, and the executioner, in my mind, it's a guy in a black hood. I don't know if it's true or not, but he grabs him, drags him to the king, and the brother's just crying and sobbing, and he's asking his brother, the king, goes, man, what did I do? What did I do? I don't want to die. And his brother tells him this, if you're this afraid to meet a man, how much more concerned should you be to meet God? And that's going to happen for every one of you sitting here today. One day you will stand in front of a holy, righteous, a perfect God who will judge you based on your faith and the works that manifested. Now, what I would leave you with this morning to think about, how's that going to look for you? How is that going to look for you? We didn't get to it today, so let me give you a real clip, and we'll spend a lot more time on it next week, is that the good news to this is that if you are living in relationship with Christ, you've been redeemed, right? This price for your sin has already been paid on the cross as Christ went to the cross, right? And then 3 days later ascended and now sits at the right hand of God. If you are living in a right relationship with Him, that blood that Christ spilled on the cross covers this for you. So you don't need to live in fear of that judgment, but you need to live in reverence and awe of whom God is. And it's very important for us. And so if you're sitting here this morning, you're like, well, man, if I stood in front of a God right now, I'm not sure what the outcome would be. Well, man, I'll be down here in a minute. And I would love to have a conversation with you and begin to have that conversation with you to talk about that, because, you know, we don't talk about it a lot in society today. But there are consequences to your actions. One day you will be held responsible for every sin you have committed. And just think about that for a second, man. My guess is you probably got a pretty good list going today, this morning. And it's only 11:56. And this is just one day. I know some of you are older than me. A lot of you are younger than me. Let's add that up over your years. It's something to be concerned about if you're not in a relationship with Christ. And if you're in a relationship with Christ, you should be thankful and blessed that God gave you an answer to this sin condition you have, and that answer was Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you for this message today, Lord. I thank you for this discussion on a concept that quite often is not talked about in church. It's considered an Old Testament philosophy. Lord, I just don't believe that's correct. I don't believe it's accurate. I believe for us today in 2022 that the fear of displeasing you should motivate us to live a life more like Christ and less like the world. So, Lord, I'm thankful for your word that teaches us what is good to you and what is wrong to you. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit that convicts us of that sin. But most importantly, Lord, I'm thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who you sent to be a payment for that sin on the cross for us. Lord, what a blessing that is. And I just pray that every one of us go out into a world and we understand how blessed we are to be in a right relationship with Christ. How wonderful you are to have sent him on our behalf. Lord, we didn't deserve it. What we deserve is an eternity in hell. That's what we deserve. But because of your love and your grace, you have given us an opportunity to spend eternity in your presence. What a wonderful thing that is, Lord. And Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us here to have that peace and that assurance and that relationship with Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let us stand and respond in song and sing about that wonderful old rugged cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a so despised by the world as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to the Calvary. So I'll change your rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. The old rugged cross, same way blood so divine, such a wonderful beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and save. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a to the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share.
Super excited. I will say this, and I'm so thankful for Crystal and Raphael and Jeremiah, and for no other reason that they indulge me. When we do that last song, I'm all about all the verses. I ain't about the first and the fourth that happens in a lot of churches. I'm about all of them, so I'm thankful that we go through all of them because they all have value. I'm a third verse kind of guy, but the fourth verse makes the third verse even better, so I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful also for this time we've had here today. You know, I pray that you all are much like me, that on Sunday mornings I'm like, man, I can't wait to get here. I can't wait to get here and see you all. I can't wait to get here and get into a small group study, discuss God's Word. I'm thankful for tough things that we hear about today and what we discuss and what judgment looks like. I'm so thankful for all of this because it's just a reminder, whether it sounds like it or not, it's just a reminder of how God loves and cares for you. And that's something I need to hear a lot. I need to hear that a lot. Right? Bobby, if you'll come on up, we got a special thing. Bobby's going to come up and we'll probably turn on this pulpit mic so they can hear him. And then Bobby, would you close that in prayer, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, as all of y'all know, we've kind of been going behind Raphael's back the past couple weeks. And we're so thankful for Raphael and what he has done here in his ministry, and how he's just been a joy to have. And I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said how blessed we are to have you. And just to hear the story of how he got to be here and how God has went before him and prepared his way. And I'm here today, Raphael, to say that God has went before you again. And as a congregation, we have taken up money and we've seen a need that you need a guitar of your own. And we have taken up money and we have a $1,000 gift card to Guitar Center so that you can purchase a guitar. So we just want to say we love you. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for being able to gather here on a Sunday morning freely to worship you and just to hear what you have to say to us, Lord. We thank you so much for those who minister to us, and we just are so blessed here at Dallasburg that all of us come together as one body and we're united in one spirit, Lord, that we see the needs of others and we fulfill them. We just ask that you would continue to be with us this week. Show us who you are. Reveal to us who you are through your word. And we just ask that you bring us back safely the following week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.